If you want to take your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter number 7, don't stand, and we'll find our place there here in just a few moments. And I had full intentions of preaching like normal, but Trevor said I had to be shorter, and I guess, don't stand yet. And I've got several things I want to say, and one of them is I guess the new guy's going to come in and tell me how long I can or cannot preach. And so, newbie mistake. And so I'll tell him how long he can or cannot work tomorrow. It's going to be a long day. No, I'd already mentioned that I'd preach shorter. I want to just take the opportunity to specifically to say how much I appreciate the Wares, the Jeskies, the Sanders, the Hales, the Griffins. Who else am I missing? Is that it? And I believe it is, and hope I'm not missing anyone else. These families, not only went to camp, and in most cases paid to go to camp, took vacation, and then they, you'd be so proud of them. They spent the entire week, not just being at camp, but they spent the entire week investing in our teenagers. When you would think maybe after a long day or short night that they'd be back in the dorms and taking a nap, they weren't. And if our teenagers were out, they were out. They were walking with them, talking with them, investing in them. Every invitation, they were running down, praying with them. And I'm just so thankful that we have that many families and would have had more if we would have asked for it, and that love our teenagers and so very much that they're willing to go and invest in them. And that means time they're not going to take off the rest of the year because they took off time there. And if you think camp's a vacation, we will invite you to go one year, and you'll find out it's not necessarily a vacation. But boy, it sure is a worthwhile week. The messages, and I believe you no doubt picked up on this through the testimonies, and so many of the messages centered around the heart. Brother Jones, every message was on the heart. And then Brother Gaddis, preached one message specifically on the heart. But I think if you was to take his entire series on Samson that he preached, it could all come under the heading of Samson's wondering heart. Because his heart was just prone to wonder. And so we heard messages, as you've picked up on, about examining our heart. Out of Psalms 139, the beauty of the broken heart, the danger of the divided heart, having a fixed heart, guarding our heart, and just so much about the heart. Brother Jones described it this way, that the heart is the thinker, feeler, doer of our lives. It's the center of everything we are. And so I know for some of you that might be visiting with us tonight, you think this is a very unique service, but this is a big thing to us. This is an important thing in the youth camp, and we're never going to shy away from that. Because I believe this is where God really, one of the main avenues He uses to help mold and to work in the lives of our teenagers. And certainly, our desire going into camp every year, senior camp and junior camp. Senior camp, they're really more in a place where they're ready to hear from the Lord, I think, and really understand the gravity of the decisions. But we make no mistake about it. We take them to camp because we're after their hearts. We're after their hearts. We want God to get a hold of their hearts and to speak to their hearts and to do a work in their hearts. God wants not just a part of them, God wants their whole hearts. And just like it can happen for you, it happens for these teenagers. We get into life and we start living life and we get busy with life. And I think without even realizing it, our hearts become a little bit hard. And then they get a little harder. And then they get a little harder, and then just a little bit harder. And before we know it, sometimes our hearts can become completely closed off to the things of God. And we can get to a place where we find ourselves, our teenagers and adults alike, we find ourselves doing things we never dreamed that we would be doing. People find themselves completely out of church, and they never would have dreamed that that's where they would be, but it happened because their heart just gradually got just a little bit harder and a little bit harder. And so Jack said it when his testimony, that God spoke to him and he understood the purpose of camp, is God needed to break up his hard heart. And that's not just Jack, that's all of us, myself included. God had some work to do in my life through the preaching of his word, and God had a work to do in all of our adults' lives and all of our teenagers' lives. And someone might just ask, preacher, what's the big deal? Why is it so important? And I just want to share this thought with you tonight. And that is just simply this. Why is it so important that we take these teenagers to camp? Why is it so important that we invest so much in them? Why is it so important that we go after their heart and you hear all of these messages on their heart? And that is because there's a problem that takes place when we get a hard heart. There's a problem. Don't stand with me, but look in Exodus chapter number 7. And I want to propose to you tonight, maybe something that you've not considered before, but God impressed upon my heart even this week. Okay, stand. Let's stand. And let's just read one verse, and then we're going to pray and get into this. And I want you to look at chapter 7 and verse number 23. Bible says, "And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also." Neither did he set his heart to this also. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for just the opportunity to be in your word. We ask you to speak to us tonight and just use this challenge to remind us of the truth of keeping a soft heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We understand the children of Israel were under bondage. God wanted to deliver his children, set them free, so that they might go into the promised land and serve him. But there was one big obstacle standing in the way, and that was a man by the name of Pharaoh. And so in this text that we read and the portion of scripture we're looking at, God is going to send a series of plagues in an attempt to get Pharaoh to let God's people go, to set them free. And so someone might read this text and think, here's the end in mind that God has, and that is to deliver his people. And certainly that was a part of what God was doing. But I want to propose to you tonight that was not primarily God's purpose. God could have set his people free any way, anyhow he wanted to. He could have wiped off the Egyptians off the face of the planet and set his people free. He did not need anybody's help to do that. And so when we read these texts and we look at these plagues, rather than seeing them as God's attempt to set his people free, I want you to view this as God's pursuit of Pharaoh's heart. God's pursuit of Pharaoh's heart. That's ultimately what God was looking to. And when God sent these plagues, he wanted Pharaoh's heart. He wanted the Egyptians' heart. And so when Pharaoh began to be resistant to what God was trying to do, we understand it. God began to send some plagues. And in verse number 20, the Bible talks about how Moses, he smote the waters and that were in the river. And he did so in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned blood. And the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. So God turned the water into blood. But we read the verse, the Bible talks about in verse number 23, that in God's attempt to get a hold of Pharaoh's heart, that he did not set his heart to it. It had no impact on his heart. He made no change of heart. And so God said, okay, I'll send another plague. And he sent the plague of the frogs. And the Bible goes through in the first part of chapter number 8, and he gives great descriptions and talks about how there were frogs literally everywhere. And so the point came that when Pharaoh went to Moses, he said, get rid of these frogs. And we all understand in verse 10, the ironic statement that Pharaoh made, because Moses said, okay, when do you want to get rid of the frogs? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. I don't know if we'll ever understand that. But on tomorrow, God got rid of the frogs. But keep your Bibles with you. Look at verse number 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So God, pursuing Pharaoh's heart, turned the water into blood. But Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to let this affect my heart. So God said, I'll send frogs. And God sends frogs. And the Bible says that he hardened his heart. He refused to listen to God. He refused to allow God to have his heart. And so God sends the plague of lice. I'm so thankful to say that we didn't have a plague of lice at camp this year. We have before, and it's not a fun thing. We didn't have a plague of lice, but they did. The magicians even came to Pharaoh in verse 19 after the third plague, and they begin to say, this is the finger of God. But notice what Pharaoh did. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So God, in verse 20, begins to work through the plague of flies. My goodness. All of these are bad, but some of them just seem worse than others. Have you ever been trying to take a nap and had a fly that won't leave you alone? Imagine swarms of flies, a plague of flies. And finally, Pharaoh in verse 23 says, go. Moses makes the flies go away. And in verse number 32, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. So God said, okay. And he sent this plague, this murrain on the cattle. And in verse number 7 of chapter number 9, and Pharaoh sinned. And behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. Notice what it says. The heart of Pharaoh was hardened. He did not let the people go. So God sent the plague of boils. Now he begins to touch their bodies. In verse 12, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken to Moses. And so then in verse number 13, here's where things get interesting to me if they weren't already. God begins through Moses to warn Pharaoh of this hell that is coming. And basically in these next verses, God is saying through Moses to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, I'm done playing around. I've been trying to get your heart. I've been trying to get your attention. I've been trying to get you to turn around and to listen to me and obey me. And Pharaoh, you're not listening. And here's what you need to know. Things are about to get really, really bad. You think all the plagues you've experienced up to this point were tough? You have no idea how tough they're going to be. Pharaoh, you need to give your heart to me. You need to listen to me. In verse 22 of chapter 9, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast, upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Israel. So there was hail, and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, so that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. I want to go out on a limb and say this is probably the worst hailstorm of all times. It seems like as of late, we've had some thunderstorms. I don't know what happened early in the week when we was at camp, but before we left, it seemed like we was having lots of thunderstorms, and they just happened to come right about time for me to go to bed. I like to be asleep by 10, and it seemed like that's about the time the storms came in. It's really hard to sleep when it's thundering. It's really hard to sleep when it starts hailing on your roof. I mean, that'll keep you awake, and you're wondering, how bad is this going to get? How bad's the flooding going to get? But whatever we've experienced, it doesn't compare to the thunder that the Lord sent. And not just hail, but as the hail hit, the Bible says, fire ran along upon the ground. This is getting very serious now. Very serious. But look at verse number 35. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. And so God sends some locusts. And in verse 27 of chapter 10, more hardening. And then finally, God sends one final plague into the life of Pharaoh and toward the Egyptians. Here's what the Bible's showing us in this text. I think we're all prone to have a hard heart. God's in pursuit of our heart. Not just the teenager. God is in pursuit of the heart of every individual in this auditorium tonight. And it is sometimes in our natural tendency to resist God as God pursues us. And as God is coming after us and God is trying to get our attention, it sometimes is just what we do. We kind of put our hand and for whatever reason, not now, God. I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to listen, God. But the problem is, and why we put so much focus on taking teenagers to camp, and why the preacher spent so much focus going after their heart, because God knows, and these preachers knows, and the Bible shows it, and I hope you begin to see, and you know, that the problem with the hard heart is that the harder our hearts become, the more severe the consequences God sends to get a hold of our heart. God said, I'm just going to turn some water into blood. Yeah, that's cute, God. I'm going to send some frogs. That's annoying, God. I'm going to send some lice and some flies. Yeah, that's really annoying, God. I'm going to send some thunder and some hail and some fire. That's scary, God. But we're okay. What finally changed Pharaoh? God had to take his child. God had to do something exceptionally severe. All along the way, God's pursuing Pharaoh's heart, saying, just listen to me. Just obey me. Just give your heart to me. Just listen to what I'm trying to do. And the same principle that is true in Pharaoh's life is true in our lives. And the reason we're so hard after these teenagers' hearts, because we want them to understand that if they will give their heart to God now, they will save themselves from a lot of heartache in this life as God is pursuing them, trying to get a hold of their heart. And I say the same thing to every person in this auditorium tonight. Just like the teenagers had to pause and evaluate all week long their heart, I'm asking you tonight, evaluate your heart. Where is it? Where is your heart? And if some of us were honest, we know that some hardness is beginning to build up. Some resistance toward the things of God is beginning to build up. And I'm going to warn you the same way that we warn these teenagers all week long. Give your heart to God. Give Him your whole heart. Get your heart right with God. It's so much easier to go to camp and say, okay, God, break my heart and let Him do it and come home changed, than to have to come home with a hard heart and God have to do something even greater to break our heart. In other words, a lot of wisdom that Mr. Jack showed in saying, all right, I'll let God break my heart here the easy way instead of the hard way. And it'd do us all real good to follow suit. See, that's what I love about camp. Teenagers go and get right with God. God uses them to help us to get right with God. And they've set an example of what we need to do. And there's some hard hearts in this auditorium tonight. And we do real good to do like our teenagers and say, okay, God, I'm going to fix my heart right here, right now, before I go any farther, before You have to do something even more severe to get my heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed.